You know, I stopped listening to talk radio a long time ago when I used to live in Houston and I was driving in traffic for what seemed like 2 hours sometimes. When I just turned off the radio, it changed my life in a positive way. Is there any advice that you wouldn't mind sharing before the conference to kind of give our viewers some real tangible ways to make that change that you're talking about?
I'll tell you, one of the ways to do it is spend more time praying than you're doing listening to stuff on radio. Okay. Too many Catholics, they cut their teeth on radio for hours a day and probably pray about 15 minutes a day. Should be the other way around. You should be praying much more than the information that you're taking in, especially if it's secular political radio. And one of the things about, as Catholics, we have to make sure that our life revolves around prayer, not our prayer revolves around our life. What I mean by that, structure. You find in the Old Testament many passages where the Bible tells us, Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, that a man should be praying three times a day, morning, midday, and evening. You got to hit those, set a marker for yourself, put it on your phone, make it a mental note. Okay, I'm praying when I get up, whatever time you get up, and make sure you get up at that time every day. Make sure you're consistent. Make sure you're praying. I'm praying in the afternoon, whether you pray the Angelus or the 3 p.m. Divine Mercy, and I'm doing evening prayers. As a Catholic, we should structure our day around prayer, not the other way around. Because I'll tell you, there's several things about prayer. There's a whole medical side to this. It's fascinating what prayer does to the brain. That in itself is just fascinating. But from a Catholic spiritual point of view, what prayer does, it washes the imagination and the memory from all the filth and all the crud that you take in with your five senses. Think about that word, washing. Okay, that's where the word baptism in Greek comes from. Baptismos means washing. That's what St. Paul means when he says, Romans 12, 2, renew your mind. It means washing your mind, filling your mind with those things that are good, beautiful, and true. And the way you can do that, Catholic men, in the state of the church right now, there's no excuse. Every Catholic man should be praying the rosary every day, period. No excuses. Okay? That's our 50 caliber machine gun. Every Catholic man should be reading the Bible every single day. The daily mass readings, don't make any excuses. That takes 10 minutes a day. St. Jerome says, ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ. And this is why so many Catholic men are secular humanists and pagans and occultists, because they're not steeped in scripture. Read the Bible every day, the daily mass readings. And number three, just to make it very simple, make sure that you're praying grace before meals. Most of the people eat three times a day. You should be praying at least three times a day. And when you're praying grace before meals, there's two things that happen there. Number one, if you don't know where the food comes from, you don't know if somebody's put a curse on it. When you pray grace before meals, it breaks the curse. And I'm talking even about vitamins, medicine. Do the bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts right before you ingest anything in your body. You don't know where this stuff comes from, Pfizer or Moderna. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know the people who assembled these medications or vitamins. So just pray grace before anytime you put something into your mouth, especially when you're in public. And I'll tell you how powerful this is. Saint Benedict, they tried to kill him twice, patron saint of exorcists back in the 5th century. They tried to kill him twice. One time with wine, they tried to poison his wine. His fellow Benedictines couldn't stand him because it was of his holiness. And so he blessed the goblets of wine, did grace before meal, and the goblet of wine exploded. It shattered. And they come to find out that goblet was full of poison by his fellow priest. But his prayer shattered that goblet. Another time, his fellow priest tried to kill him. They tried to poison some bread. And St. Benedict, you know, he did his grace before meals. He blessed the bread. And what happened? As he's about to eat the poisoned bread, a raven came down. A raven came down, took that bread, and flew off with it, preserved it from eating. Again, that's the power of blessing your food before meals. So again, as Catholic men, pray three times a day, morning, midday, and evening. Read your Bible every day. And to include the daily rosary. And I'll tell you why. Because the daily rosary, it's like, I call it road work. There's nobody who becomes a champion without road work. I was a fighter. I fought for 10 years. I know champions around the world. I remember the young Mike Tyson, they asked him one time, why do you get up at 4 a.m. and run 5 miles? You know what he said? He goes, because my opponent's not doing that. This is the young Mike Tyson, the 21-year-old machine. He goes, because I know my opponent started getting up at 21 at 4 a.m. and running 5 miles. This is what the rosary is. It's spiritual road work. No guy in UFC, MMA, boxing, wrestling, nobody reaches the top of the game without road work. And same with the Catholic man. No Catholic man will attain any level of holiness without road work, which is the daily rosary.
What you're saying here is nothing like anybody can do this stuff. Yeah, this is not like rocket science. It's not. You're just basically calling out the basics here. You know, how hard is any of that?
None basics. Yeah. I was going to ask you, Jesse, mass, you know, attendance has been in decline just rapidly. It's just crazy over our lifetime, you know, 50%, 40%, 30%, 20%, 10% of Catholics going to mass each Sunday. What can we do to bring Catholics back to mass and wanting to attend again? I mean, it's the trend is we're going to be at just a few percentage points at the rate we're going.
Well, that's been predicted by many great people. One of them, the young Cardinal Ratzinger, who became Pope Benedict back in the 60s and 70s, he actually wrote a book and did radio interviews on this, that before the second coming of Christ, that the church was going to get very small, but there will always be a remnant, and that church would become very strong. And so don't be afraid. I mean, Jesus Christ says, when the Son of Man comes back to the earth, will he even find faith? And he talks about it. St. Paul also talks about that before the second coming of the Christ and before the coming of the Antichrist, there's going to be a great apostasy. What does that mean? A massive falling away of the faith. But let's remember this. God always has a remnant. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 11, verse 5, and many other passages. Make sure you're part of that remnant. Yeah. But the way we can help people know about the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, you don't have to spend $27 million like the U.S. bishops. You know what you have to do? Get to know your pastor and talk to your pastor. Say, hey, Father, can we bring back an altar rail? Mm-hmm. Yeah, why not? Yeah, hey, no, I don't see why not. Father, can we tell people to start kneeling before receiving Holy Communion?
Preach it, brother.
Yeah. Father, can we start telling people that the preferred way of receiving Holy Communion is on the tongue like a little child and allowing your Father to feed you? Wow. Yeah. Again, you have to have a relationship, establish a relationship with your pastors, and the pastors want to do the right thing. They just need good lay Catholics just to kind of encourage them. And so those are some of the little things. Personally, you know, you have to practice what's called orthopraxy. When people see you at mass, they have to say like, hey, Jesse, you're very reverent. You keep your hands like this for 60 minutes. I've never seen you receive communion in the hand. You always go on your knees. You're receiving the tongue. You're always praying the mass, whether it's the Novus Ordo mass or the Latin mass, it's a silent mass. But let people see your reverence. Let them see you know, genuflecting before you go into the pew, blessing yourself with holy water, prayers before mass, prayers after mass. Orthopraxy means is doing things properly. We're not just supposed to be orthodox, embrace the right doctrine. We're all supposed to embrace orthopraxy, doing the right thing, the proper protocols in church, in the mass, showing reverence and piety to the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. Just simple things like always genuflecting before you pass the tabernacle. And people say, hey, dude, why are you always genuflect? You like pass by 5 times. I say, you know who's in there? Here's another way to evangelize people. Start putting out videos all your social contacts on miracles of the Eucharist. There are hundreds of miracles of the Eucharist that most lay Catholics have never heard of. They've never heard of them. And once they start, I said, dude, you know, why don't you do a deep dive in this topic? Or why don't you binge on this for all? You're always binging on this, that, and the other. Binge on this. And I'm telling you, when you could get a lay Catholic curious about what Jesus is, I mean, these Eucharistic wafers have turned into a piece of a human heart. When people see the scientific evidence, people are blown away. That's another thing that we as Catholics, we have to use that more and more. And one of the things that we as Catholics should do is also as well is recommend to our family members, hey, read the Bible, read the Bible. I say, where do I start? It's such a big book. Say, you know what? You want to start with John chapter 6. That's the most important chapter in the Bible. Of all the chapters in the Bible, read John chapter 6. Like, read it for like a whole week and watch. God is going to speak to you, and you're going to understand something about your Catholic faith that you've never really understood. If I was the Pope or a bishop, I would make every single Catholic at least once a year for the rest of their life read John chapter 6 very slowly and piously.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
that's fun because you just answered a question that we like to ask. Yeah. If you were the Pope, what would you do? You've seen a lot with the you said a lot too in the past on one of our shows about the Hispanic population, and there is a large population in Texas. Is there anything that is on your heart about the Hispanic population and the culture and the Catholic Church?
The Hispanic population right now is split, and I'll tell you why. Because in the veins of the Hispanic Catholic runs the Spanish Crusader blood, the Cristero blood.
Yeah.
But also within the veins of Hispanic Catholics runs the Aztec blood, which is steeped in paganism and superstition and the occult. And so as a Hispanic Catholic, I've seen that Hispanic Catholics either embrace Orthodoxy, that the Cristero fervor, the Spanish conquistador faith, or they embrace the occult, because a lot of them are just like, even in America, they're just low information Catholics. So as Catholics, one of the things that I think that everybody should have in their house and recommend it to fellow Catholics, everybody should have the basic Baltimore Catechism, the simple catechism in English and Spanish, and get people to start reading it, because That's the timeless teachings of the Catholic Church. They don't change. And I'll tell you, if you say, hey, dude, you got to read the catechism, and you give them the JP2 catechism, which is about an inch and a half thick or 2 inches, they're not going to read it. It's intimidating. And most people don't realize that catechism was made for Catholic priests to answer questions when people come into the office. Oh, what's your question on abortion, contraception? Look at the index. Boom, here's your answer. It's not for lay people. Lay people got to go back to the Penny Catechism, the Baltimore Catechism. But this is the way we're going to – Catholics need information. It reminds me of Hosea the prophet, chapter 4, verse 6. The prophet says, my people are dying for their lack of knowledge. Hispanic Catholics right now are being diabolically deceived because the cartels are so powerful in Mexico, the drug cartels, and they've – since the 60s, they've ushered in a new false religion called La Santa Muerte. That's pure and simple Satan worship. And a lot of Catholic, Hispanic Catholics are falling into that. We're losing a lot of them also to the evangelicals or the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons that are going over to Mexico. And so I think the best way we can ground Spanish Catholics in their Catholic faith, teach them how to pray the rosary. If you teach a Hispanic how to pray the rosary with piety, Our Lady will always bring him to Jesus 100% of the time.
Amen. I mean, look at what Our Lady Guadalupe did in the conversion right there.
Yeah. Isn't that the greatest, besides Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, the greatest miracle on earth was Our Lady Guadalupe?
Yeah, in fact, that's the second most visited shrine in Christianity in the world. The first most visited shrine is the empty tomb in Jerusalem, the Holy Sepulchre. Well, the second most visited Christian shrine is Our Lady Guadalupe.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not realize that. I mean, I knew it was huge.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Geez.
Yeah. And that goes without saying, I guess. It's you got Jesus and then you got his mama. So, you gotta go see mama too. So,
no doubt.
Thanks, Jesse. In the meantime,
be bold,
be real,
be Catholic.
God bless.